listening to the AHDB podcast, farming news and stories from across the UK.
Hello and welcome to this Cereals and Oilseeds episode of the AHDB podcast. I'm Theresa Meadows, Knowledge Exchange Manager for East Anglia, and this time we're doing a podcast special for you as part of our Strategic Farm Week. We've brought together Strategic Farm Week for you this year in a virtual format to share the research trials and early findings from our two strategic farms in the East and the West, and to introduce you to our new strategic farm in Scotland with David Aglin from Balbirnie Farms. Our Strategic Farm Week content is available for you to view online, so we thought that we would take this opportunity in this podcast to hear from our three strategic farmers, Brian Barker, Rob Fox and David Aglin, in discussion with Paul Temple, Chair of our AHDB Cereals and Oilseeds Board, about their experiences, highlights and thoughts to date about what it's like to be a strategic farm.
Well, it's great to be here as part of this podcast. My name's Paul Temple. I chair the cereals and oilseeds sector of the AHDB for the UK, and I also farm up in the north of England where arable and beef farmers. And we've got three strategic farmers on the end of the line somewhere across the country. I'm just going to quickly ask them to introduce themselves, where they are and what they're doing. Okay, Brian.
Hi, I'm Brian Barker, strategic farm for the East, farming in Suffolk, traditional cereal-based farm, no livestock, and currently doing a rain dance every 15 minutes to see if I can make it rain.
Rob.
Hi, I'm Rob Fox. I'm the strategic farmer for the West region. We are just outside Leamington Spa, growing about 1,000 acres, all combinable crops. And we're involved in an 1,800-acre joint venture with a couple of other local farmers as well.
And finally, David.
Hello, I'm David Aglin, Farm Manager at Balbirnie Farms, strategic farm for Scotland. We're based in Central Fife, and we've combinable crops and live cattle and vegetable and root crops enterprise as well.
As you can see, we've got great coverage across the country. And the first question I want to ask you, I mean, everybody's heard of, or many people will have heard of the Monitor Farms, but the strategic farms are at that next stage on. What does it mean to you to be part of this strategic farm program, and what are you looking to get out of it? So if I start with Brian.
Yeah, so it was a great opportunity for myself to be involved in the Monitor Farm Programme, which is a brilliant initiative now spreading all over the country. But the strategic farm was another next level where there's always those moments that I thought I could do a little bit more. I wanted to showcase a little bit more, but also my own interests in everything that we do on the farm. I wanted to get the best minds involved on my own business, and the AHDB have got some great people involved in their team, so I want to get as much out of the AHDB as possible. So what better than putting my name in the hat for the strategic farm? And luckily I was launched now 3 years ago, so here we are, and still enjoying it. A lot of extra work, but still enjoying it.
Good. And Rob, what took you into it, and what are you looking from it?
Yeah, very much like Brian said, being a monitor farmer before this, it was the logical next step to carry on being involved with research at a farm level. The opportunity to look at things that we could possibly be doing different on our farm, and having the research backing of not only the AHDB but also a few of the other research groups such as ADAS, among others. To have that opportunity to help me learn about what we're doing right and wrong on our farm, and hopefully to move forward in a strong position and be more productive overall.
And David, finally with you.
Paul, what appealed to us, I think, was the term of the project. You know, 6 years is a great length of time. It's almost an entire rotation for us up here. So hopefully we can get some meaningful results. And as Rob already alluded to, it's a great opportunity to learn from and work with our learned peers and researchers into some of the difficult questions that we have to answer. We're always trying new things on this farm, And if we can start putting numbers to it and get some facts behind what we're doing and what we're looking to do in the future, then it can only be helpful.
It's an important part, is that six-year period. Brian, you're halfway through it now. You know, what attracted you to that six-year period, and where do you think you are now that you're halfway through it?
Yeah, so 6 years seems quite a long time, but in sort of relatively speaking, we've only got six attempts to improve what we're doing. So we've really enjoyed that long period, because farming is such a long-term sort of topic. So you can sort of stretch out your rotation, look at things, keep different options and different trials and demonstrations in one place, and you can start really getting into the nitty-gritty of what is actually affecting our farm our landscape, as well as the sort of crop inputs of what we're growing. So, yeah, 6 years is a fantastic opportunity to really sort of showcase and delve into the science of everything that we're doing and what we're interested on at a farm level.
And Rob, when you're looking through that six-year process, I mean, we're having some pretty extreme years of weather. Is this helping or hindering the process, or are you looking for how you can deal with these problems through the six-year process?
Yes, all of the above. It's certainly hindering the day-to-day farming operation, but it is helping us build the knowledge of what we can and can't do in these extreme weather situations, what we should be doing, and in a lot of situations, what not to do, especially in these wetter periods that we're getting. So yeah, 6 years I think is really important. As Brian has said, you know, with arable certainly being a yearly cycle, and most of agriculture being a yearly cycle, it's actually not that long in the big scheme of things. So it'll let us run through every one of our crops once, and we'll be able to have a look in certain fields where we're running things all the 6 years. It'll help us have a look at what we're doing right and wrong over time.
And David, you mentioned it's about going to take you through a full rotation. What does that include?
A full rotation for us. We have we grow a lot of spring malting barley, winter and spring milling oats that we have up here for a large oat mill just down the road, and wheat we grow for distilling, because we're lucky, again, we've got distilleries just down the road here. Every 4 years, we've either a vegetable or a potato crop in the rotation currently. So, and then we're also introducing forage crops for our cattle enterprise by way of summer cover crops and kale crops as well. So we've quite a lengthy rotation here, but it gives us time. It gives us time to look at the difficult areas, which is the interface between the vegetables and the regenerative agriculture, which is what we're going to major on with our strategic farm project up here. That's always a difficult bit to get right, is going from a very conservative and gentle approach on the soil to suddenly working pretty brutally for the vegetables. How do we get that right?
And I think picking up on that soil issue, how central is that to the six-year period for you, Brian, as you're going through it, and how you're looking to the future?
Yeah, so with the 6 years, we've obviously had first year was baselining, so we sort of drew a line in the sand, and all the strategic farms do the same, so everyone's having the same baselining done. So we can actually then look at it in year three and then year six, after that, just to show that has there been any developments, have there been any changes, organic matter, carbon, all these buzzwords that we're talking about, soil health, earthworm counts, all these sort of things that any farmer can sort of look at and do at home. We're now looking at it and seeing, well, has it changed? Has it changed under a plough system? Has it changed under a no-till system? Have cover crops been benefit or a hindrance in certain scenarios? So there's loads of things that now, so we never seem to be answering questions quickly. We always seem to be asking more questions, and that's farming. It's we are always moving in cycles and looking at new things, and by having this strategic farm for 6 years and looking at all these topics, it snowballs, and we're hoping that we're taking other farmers, other interested farming minds, along on a journey with us to basically improve everyone and our sector with a bit of PR, with a bit of goodwill from everyone. And hopefully people are going to benefit from listening, learning and being involved. And we're all very open and honest about what we do. We don't get it always right. We get a lot of things wrong and we learn from our mistakes. And we're just going to be very publicly open about the mistakes that we do, but also the stuff that we're doing really, really well.
I mean, Rob, you mentioned the kind of extremes of weather. Do you think that's what farmers are going to look to strategic farms for? Sort of, you know, a practical way of facing some of the problems of extreme wet and then extreme dry?
Yeah, I think it's certainly becoming harder to farm successfully in the UK. I think weather conditions is a big part of that, people, I think, yeah, they'll look to us, other farmers will look to us to look at what potentially is the right or wrong thing to be doing in these extreme weather situations. But away from the weather as well, we're losing actives, we're losing a lot of things which we've relied on a lot over the years, and we are having to farm smarter and farm harder for the same results. And I think with potentially the easiness of it is being lost, and we're all having to be more involved and work harder for the same results. So I think they will look towards the strategic farmers for some of those answers.
I mean, David, farmers can be quite conservative in approach. Do you think farmers are looking to what you're doing on the strategic farm to help them open their minds to change?
I think they will do. I think, Paul, there's a lot of, let's see, we try a lot of things on this farm, and a lot of gazing over the hedge or over the dike and wondering what on earth we're doing. But over time, you hear more people paying more attention or being more interested, asking questions. And I think once it's opened up as a strategic farm and it's an open forum for our peers around about to really get nosy and look into the business, then it can only help all of us improve what we're doing and try and counter some of the problems that Rob mentioned. You know, it is getting harder to make the return. It's harder to plan the business now than it used to be for lots of reasons, actives not being as good as they were or even not existing anymore. So yes, I think it will be a huge benefit to this area.
One of the key elements of this is the amount of sort of figures and data you can put into a strategic farm. What, Brian, is it showing you any points as to the kind of data that's useful or the kind of areas of data we need to be looking at more closely from a practical farming side?
Yeah, I think with our sort of mission statement in the East is to sort of look at how our farming practice influences the wider landscape. And with everything that's coming towards us from the government, with trying to sort of get us to do more environmental side, looking at beneficial insects and looking at water quality, air quality, the whole net zero challenge that's coming at our industry. These are all relevant topics that we're looking at really in detail and sort of breaking them down. And hopefully we're going to drag it out, because obviously the government direction is to maintain production but apply less. And so we've got to sort of really front up and look at these things. And the topics that we're choosing, we can't do everything. We won't find silver bullets for everything, but we will make a discussion and a forum that farmers can discuss on their sort of in their areas to basically, hopefully, as I say, drag people through with a bit of a story. And we've found some really interesting stuff: water quality, looking at nitrate. We've looked at cover crops to sort of mitigate that. We're looking at lowering inputs, and we've got some fantastic net margin. The great thing is that we're looking at using the AHDB benchmark to sort of benchmark crops as well. So it's all net margin calculated. And so you get some really financial, viable decision-making tools that any farmer can use and adopt on their own practice. So it's sort of bridging all those gaps and merging them all together. And hopefully there's a topic for someone and every farmer in the UK.
I mean, Rob, where do you see that balance in the drive for production, cost of production, against the sustainability side of that? And is this part of the challenge of being strategic farming, getting that balance?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Brian's mentioned, as we go forward, we know there's going to be more pressure on farmers to farm more sustainably with the environment in very much in mind. We're moving towards that a little bit with a few of our trials. And I think this high input, high output farming may have to take a back seat as we move towards a more sustainable, like we've said, actives are going anyway, so we're having to learn how to do it without the aid of certain insecticides and fungicides, particularly in the last few years. We're having to learn how to do it more anyway, and I think as we move towards that and as we learn more because we've had to because of these actives being removed, then I think we learn more actually about what actives we can carry on using, but maybe we don't need to so much anymore, and we can farm less input, potentially less output, but a better bottom line at the end of it.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm picking that up with the final question to David. One of the terms that we're all using now is IPM in the way we look at crop management. Where does that feature on your strategic farm?
Hugely. We don't use insecticides on any of our cereal crops. I struggle to, we still do a bit on the vegetables, unfortunately, but we're all looking at ways to reduce this. But clearly the consumer is still needing these supportive crops, so we have to stick with that for the time being. But we're very much going to be looking at how can we use habitats to our benefit. So possibly I've heard people talking about putting flowering strips down in the middle of the field to attract the beneficials in, and that can potentially negate some of the effects of aphids and other nasties that might be in our crops. It's one of the many topics that we're going to have to decide how closely we look at over the next few years.
Well, thank all three of you for taking part in this. It really is a big thanks for the work that you put into Strategic Farms, because I know there's a huge commitment, but there's a massive amount that everybody can get out of this, and it certainly is for the benefit of the industry. So thank you very much.
What a fascinating conversation that was, and hopefully that's given you an insight into the work going on our strategic farms and a bit of background about our strategic farmers themselves. If you'd like to find out more about our strategic farms and the Strategic Farm Week itself, all the relevant links will be in the episode show notes or on ahdb.org.uk/SFweek2020. Throughout the week, we've got 6 webinars taking place on monitoring disease and crop development through the season, monitoring and recording your pest and beneficial populations, investigating how you might reduce inputs, considering questions on crop establishment, how to look at soil structure and earthworm numbers, and a masterclass in mould drainage and soil loosening. You can either register to watch these live, or the recordings will be available to pick up afterwards and watch at your convenience. You can also read our handout or watch the videos from our farm hosts and trials leads at ADAS with the latest about our on-farm trials in Harvest 2020, whether you're interested in cover crops and water quality, possibly how to boost early crop biomass for wheat in the autumn, or about the infield flowering strips that we've established at the East and the West farms. Be sure to have a look or read and download the resources to try it for your farm business. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask any of the AHDB team mentioned. That's all for this episode. Next time, we'll be hearing about AHDB's Livestock Information Programme. Don't forget to subscribe to listen to all of our podcasts. Thank you for listening.